Hi, I'm Jeevan, and I'd just like to officially introduce you to the British podcast, in which myself and my co-host Afra share our experiences about different topics and issues facing our society from our perspective and give our views as young British people. We'd just like to make a quick disclaimer. Any kind of negative racial language used in these podcasts are purely for educational and exemplary purposes. We're all about promoting positivity, and we're just here to shed light on some really important subjects that are very important to us and that we feel need to be discussed. So thank you, and we hope you enjoy the episode.
Hi, welcome back to British. I'm Jeevan Kennedy.
Hi, I'm Afra Glott.
So today we're gonna have a conversation about everyday racism and casual racism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's gonna, I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, so off, you know, how's your week been? Yeah, me too. How has your week been? Because it's absolutely appalling over here at the moment with the rain and everything.
Yeah.
It looks disgusting.
It has been a bit of a, dampened my spirits a bit. Yeah. I got TikTok. I downloaded TikTok.
I hate TikTok. I don't know how to use it. I feel old.
I have, oh my God, I did something really bad. So I was going through TikTok, and like, the way it works is like when you like and see posts and stuff, it gives you more of that. So I was following lots of like posts about left wing stuff, like politics stuff, mm-hmm. and things that I agreed with. And I thought, you know what? I want to make a politically charged TikTok. And I stumbled across this video of this guy. I don't know, he kind of just, it was called like Greatest Empires of the World, and it was about the British Empire. Mm-hmm. And he showed lots of pictures of it, so I like duetted it, and I was like, yeah, the British Empire was a really bad thing, stop glorifying it. And yeah. The amount of nationalist proud British people who flooded my comments was very overwhelming. I got 220 comments, I think it was. Yeah, if you're desperate to see it, if anyone's desperate to see it, I'll DM it to you. But
200. See, I'd heard that TikTok was kind of like, it's fun and everything, but I'd seen that people had experienced like racism and like riot attacks, like nationalist attacks, because like he's suppressing political views. So I'm not entirely surprised, but 200 comments.
Well, I was so surprised because I haven't really seen any like right-wing supporting stuff or any like mm-hmm. nationalist stuff on TikTok. I've only seen like left-wing stuff, and I was like mm-hmm. really shocked. I was like, where are my leftist people gonna support yeah. me? So eventually I ended up turning off the comments and making my account private, because I was like, you know, it wasn't really bothering me, but it kind of got on my nerves a bit, the misconceptions about mm-hmm. the British Empire in general. So I thought that would be a very good topic for discussion for today's podcast.
Definitely. So, and yeah. It definitely links in with everyday racism, because it's like the seeds that were planted with the British Empire, that's what everyday racism comes from. Like, we've been indoctrinated to this whole process of seeing black people as animalistic, or Asian people as less than and poor, struggling, da da, things like that. Like, these stereotypes, they're lingering from the British Empire, from slavery. So I think it's very relevant. And you wouldn't, if you go to the doctors and you have something wrong with you, they wouldn't be like, oh, so right now we're presenting this, let's just ignore everything that happened in the past. They would look at what happened in the past, and the British Empire was a massive thing that set up everyday racism and the systematic effects today. So it's definitely relevant.
Yeah. Well, I got a lot of people saying things like, oh, sorry that Britain brought technology and brought democracy to other countries. But I think one of the biggest issues with the whole topic of colonialism and the British Empire is that if you ask people in Britain about the British Empire, they say it was a good thing, it was really good, mm-hmm. You know, improve so the quality of life for the savages, and but the reality is that it was built upon the genocide and oppression mm-hmm. and the murder and the theft of so many different people and cultures. And yeah, it might have brought technology and things, but it's not really taught properly in schools just how many people died as a result of it. Like,
yeah,
I was looking at statistics, and the Bengal famine in the 18th century, I believe it was, alone killed like 29 million people, let alone colonization of America and Australia completely, well, almost wiped out Native Americans and the indigenous Australian people. And it really, I really feel like the big issue is that people only want to look at the good. And when you say, oh, here's the things wrong with it, they're like, no, no, ignore that. This is the good stuff. But it needs to be acknowledged that this is the harm that it's done so that we can move on. It's just really upsetting how many people aren't properly educated on the negative repercussions of the British Empire and colonialism.
And it sets up like modern day disputes, like, so with Kashmir, like the dispute is happening there, it's because where the British came in and where they cut it up, so in whatever way divided people, because they come in, they mess it all up, jungle it all around the place, and then they say, right, we've actually found out that it's not really nice for us to be here, so we're going to leave really quickly, and they leave no infrastructure in place, and then that leads to these warlords and people coming in back and forth, oh, we deserve this, we're entitled to this, and these age-old disputes. So I think it's slightly relevant, like, and it's still relevant in these countries, you know, we still have the Commonwealth, and that's a lingering aftermath of the British Empire. So it's still relevant in these countries, they still are facing these disputes. But I feel like people, like all, like a lot of people on the internet, like you said, that very quick to say, like, oh, but what would these people have done without it, like, well, there were lots of infrastructure and people doing their, like, it's like the conversation we had about, like, cultures, and how in Asia people have like different foods. So we're talking about people eating, like, I don't know, like snakes and things like that in China. That's their culture, that's what they do. And just because we don't agree with it and we don't do it over here doesn't mean that it's wrong, or doesn't mean they're savages. So I think, like, it's very quickly for you to point the blame and be like, oh, they're less than, because that's what you're saying. You're saying they're less than, and you're dehumanizing them. It's just not needed. And it's very quick to be like, oh, well, they need our support, when realistically we were having a lovely time before you all came in toting guns and barrels of gunpowder blowing us all up.
It's this whole idea of superiority, that, oh, we're better than you, we're more cultured than you. But if you look at Native Americans and the white movement from the east of America to the west of America, and in places like Africa and India, the British and Europeans come in and they think, we're more cultured than you, and this isn't right, and this is savage. But it's just the way that different countries and societies and cultures have developed. They'll do it in their own time. They have their own ways of doing things. Like when white Americans moved to the west of America, they looked down on the Native Americans as like, you're savages, you don't live properly, you're not cultured. But the fact is that they moved around the plains following buffalo herds, and they got everything they need from buffaloes, and they have their own ways of decision making and their own form of a justice system and their own form of getting food. And then the white Europeans look at that, and because it's different, they think that's uncivilized, and they try to enforce their own ways of doing it. But when they try to introduce agriculture to the west of America, it didn't work, because the area where the Native Americans lived, it wasn't farmable land. And that's how you can see that in the way that their culture had developed. But as I say, this idea of white superiority just brings in that we are better than them. And I feel like that still resonates with us today when we talk about China and, oh no, their way of doing things is worse than us, they're lesser than us. And that is still the basis of our society today.
Exactly. And you see, and that's kind of like the big issue, that's where it comes back to, because it will have these real life modern day effects on us, you know. Well, looking at like the justice system, for example, because for so long black people were seen as savages, inhumane, you know, this kind of stereotype, out of control. Oh my god, like in history we learn about how in literature the black man was considered to be an animal, of rapist, things like that, like a very abusive and just like a savage. And that is still in effect in England, and more so in America, in the justice system, where black people are seen more as a threat just because of the colour of their skin. And it's upsetting because it's nothing that's been taught, but it's just what's been enforced through the time. Like, if you see posters to do with gang violence, they're all black boys. They're all a group of black boys. And I guess it's kind of relevant today for the knife crime. It's, they keep saying, like, oh, it's young black boys. The majority of the time, it's white boys, and it's everyone. It's knife crime is an everyday problem. It's an everything problem. It's an everyone problem. And a lot of the time, they're fighting, like, they'll get into knife crime, whatever, and it'll be about drugs, and it'll be about things like that. And then with the drugs being sold to middle-class white boys, but then they will never see the repercussions of these actions. They will never, because they will do the coke, whatever. They'll do that, and they will never see the repercussions of people getting stabbed in the streets, gun crime, knife crime, and other things. So it's very easy for us to point the finger at black people and at ethnic minorities because they've been portrayed in this light for so many years. And that's why, like, it's relevant. And people saying that it's not relevant or that, oh, it has nothing to do with that, it's ridiculous, because clearly these things have been about for so many years. You know, racism is about longer than equality has. Like, we've been free people for a less amount of time than we've been enslaved. So it's so relevant to be talking about. And if that's the thing, like, these people, they get on the internet and they, these little trolls, they, I hate that word because I feel like it's always used on the, like, Good Morning Britain, like, all these trolls, but they get on the internet and it's not even like a conversation. It's just, I'm right, you're wrong, white supremacy. And they don't say it in, like, many words, but rule Britannia, you know, go back home, you're upset because you're a savage, da, 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 things like that. It's just nonsense. And it's, they're so quick to say that, because if I'm in an argument with someone, I have much more things to say to you than about your race or about other attributes. And it's ridiculous. Like, people, they're just so quick to throw around, you know, this whole nationalist idea. So how am I meant to think that it's anything but about race when you're so quick to point out the fact that you're white and you're 100% English and I'm not?
Well, the thing you said about that, that, well, I find that a lot of the time, no matter what your kind of political beliefs right now, but people are very stubborn. Like, if they think something, nothing that I try to say
on both sides of the coins
is really gonna change their minds about that. So people were saying things, I, like, the comments were insane. Someone was like, you're just upset because you lost, you're just upset because you didn't have the army for it. And I was just kind of thinking, so can we use that logic to justify, say, something horrible like the Holocaust? Like, would Jews, should Jews not be upset about that? And not just the Jewish people, disabled people, homosexuals were also persecuted as a result of the Nazis in Germany. Should they just not be upset about that because they like should have been better at not being oppressed? Like, it's just it's really confusing to me, that mindset of, as I say, superiority. But I think the whole of this discussion, I like the whole basis of in our society of systemic racism is built with the foundations of the British Empire. So, like, as you were saying, with this whole enforced narrative that has been going on for centuries, as particularly towards black people, I feel like with the Jim Crow laws and all that stuff going on in America, it really just enforces this idea of systemic racism, which is the everyday oppression of BME people. And it just means they're disadvantaged in society and stuff. And I feel like there's a real reluctance from white people to acknowledge this institutional racism that, like, we can't help, it can't be helped that white people generally are more advantaged than their counterparts who are people of colour.
And then they'll talk about, like, oh, but then with crime, you know, it's more black people committing the crime, yada, yada. But then if you think about it, an economic standpoint, black people, they have been poor. They've been on the disadvantage of the economic system, you know. They, a lot of them came from immigrants. They came, they immigrated to this country, but not a lot. It's not for everyone, but it is. And it's like, they've had more setbacks, and now, because of these setbacks, they're turning to other avenues, like crime and other things that aren't good and that will lead you into trouble and lead you to experience the full force of the law when it comes to being a black boy in a court full of white men. And it's just that there are so many hurdles put in place, and instead of removing the hurdles, it's, oh, well, you're all doing this, you all need to have a blanket punishment. Like, how can you think to diagnose a problem, you can just lock someone up for a long amount of time, you know, because what is that going to solve? You're solving nothing. You're just creating a prolonged cycle. There needs to be actual institutional changes. And it's playing with people's lives. Like in America, obviously it's more extreme, with they actually have the death penalty, but in this country people are getting locked away for too long over things that aren't necessarily fair, and it's because of the system that has been in place. It's not always a thing of race, but too many times it is, and because of that there needs to be a change. Everyday racism, people in prison, crime, knife crime.
Let me pause it for a sec. Yeah, but it's this thing, this failure to address the faults in our system, in the system of our society, and in our justice system, and in economics and stuff. But globally, the whole kind of enforcement, the historic oppression of people throughout slavery, the era of Jim Crow in America, apartheid in South Africa, colonization throughout the entire world, this has really contributed to this kind of narrative of white supremacy. And I feel like there's a failure of the people in power to address that, because it kind of baffles me when people think that we live in a post-racial society, where
racism doesn't exist. Yeah, it's not a thing.
It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter where you come from, because we're all equal.
One colour. We're all the human race.
I don't see race, but the fact is that these differences are still prevalent, and the systems in place are built upon the oppression of Black people, of Indian people, of Asian people. And like, I've kind of been thinking about this a lot, about this whole idea of white privilege, and why certain people are very quick to deny it, are very quick to criticize this whole idea of white privilege.
Yeah,
I think it's really important to note, like, as like I feel as a white person, I feel more advantaged than, say, if both my parents had been Asian, purely because race can sometimes be about the way that you're perceived and not just as what you are. But I think it's really important to note that you still benefit from white privilege, even if you're disadvantaged in other areas. Because I was talking to this about, well, I wasn't in that conversation, but my mom was having a conversation with her friend talking about white privilege, and he's quite well off now, but her friend grew up quite poor, on a council estate. He lost a parent at a very young age, and he was kind of saying to her, how can you talk to me about privilege? And when I grew up with not a lot of money, and I didn't have one of my parents growing up. And I was like, that's really true, because class divisions are very prevalent, and that's still a disadvantage to you. But you were probably more well off than, say, a Black kid or
in your situation,
Indian kid in that same situation. Like, the idea of white privilege is that it's not that all white people are more advantaged than all BME people. It's that people on the same level, like in every other category, the white person will generally have more privilege than them.
And they've got the privilege of being able to say, I don't see race. And I actually find that quite offensive for people to say that I don't see race, because you as a white person don't see race because it doesn't affect you. You don't have people making assumptions you're walking around a shop and you're stealing when being followed by security guards. You don't have to be embarrassed about saying your middle names just because you've got an African middle name. You don't have to feel ashamed because of saying that your mum didn't speak English when you first came to this country. Like, there are lots of things that, like, you don't see race, that's fine, but it is a very prevalent thing. And you saying that, I find it to be offensive, because just because it doesn't affect you doesn't mean it's not there. Like, I'm not a transgender person, so that doesn't mean that transgender issues, like transphobia, isn't a thing. It's still there, just because I don't experience it and I don't see it firsthand. And I think this attitude of, it doesn't affect me, so it's not real, isn't good, and it's not solving anything. It's not fair. white privilege is definitely, when I was younger, I used to have like big rants and debates to people about this. It's like, you can be a white person, I could say something rude and offensive to a white person just because of the colour of their skin, but because there is not the historic background and meaning behind that, it cannot be racist. Because you come from a place of privilege, whether it's just because the fact you're white, it doesn't matter if you grew up in a council home, you grew up with two parents, one parent, whatever situation, unfortunately, just because the way things are, the way the cookie crumbles, you are more advantaged than me, or my mum, or my aunt, or my cousin, or my brother, because of the colour of your skin. And if you're in a situation where you go into a courtroom because you've done something, you're more likely for a judge to say they've got sympathy on you because of the colour of your skin. When it comes to being a black boy, they don't have that sympathy on you. They just see you as one of the other many poor black boys coming from the estate who are going around stabbing people and shotting drugs for no apparent reason. So white privilege, it really grinds my gears. Like, it really winds me up, because it's like, just because you don't see it, it's not there. And you can be a conscious of situations. My dad, he knows exactly what's going on. My dad is a 50-year-old white man, and he's not racist. He understands white privilege and how it exists in society. He understands that he might not be in the same situations because of the colour of his skin. He gets that. Like, it is a thing. It is possible to do, you know. My granddad understands that. My family understand that. So it's not even a thing where it's all white people can be done. It's just through education you will understand the fact that, unfortunately, it's the way it is, and our struggles will always be different because of the color of my skin.
Yeah. And well, it never helps. It never helps when people try to deny other people's experiences. So mm-hmm. when I'm on Instagram and I come across like feminist fake pages and stuff, there's loads of men in the comments like, this isn't true, I've never heard anyone say this to a woman, I've never heard anyone say this to a gay person, I've never heard anyone, blah blah blah. But I'm like, you don't have the same experiences as them. How can you acknowledge that misogyny mm-hmm. and homophobia still prevail if you haven't if you haven't seen it happening? Like, just because you can't see it mm-hmm. doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And yeah. I feel the whole reason why racism kind of exists is because someone benefits from it. And mm-hmm. if white people can't really acknowledge that they benefit from the oppression of other races and white privilege, mm-hmm. then nothing is ever going to change. We're never going to progress in our society if we can't acknowledge that. And it is difficult to kind of look at yourself and say what your faults are and how you have negatively affected someone else's. I'm not saying that all white people are inherently racist. That's just it's just a result of the society we live in. It's just, if you are a person of a certain background, the way society perceives you is going to be different to the way they perceive a white person, who they perceive mm-hmm. to be the norm. Not that white people are the norm, but
it's the social norm, like, it's what is like enforced, it's what's in the front of magazines, things like that. Mm. It's the colour of our prime minister. But it's like, if I can recognise that as a person of a fairer complexion, people in the media might consider me to be more beautiful than someone who is darker than me. Like, if I can acknowledge that colourism is a thing, and that their prejudice is against people of darker skin complexions, why can't white people do the same? And also, you could take it into a different perspective. I think you can look on me, you can look on it if it's like class. So if I'm a more well-off person, I'm probably going to have a better life, and I'm probably going to be healthier, you know, I'm going to have better experiences, more positive experiences than someone of a lower class. And that is just fact. So if we can look at it with money, and we can say, like, obviously that's going to be the case, you know, why is that even discussed? Then we can do the same thing for race.
That's such a good point. I love that. So just to kind of finish us off, this is something that we both felt that we really wanted to talk about casual racism. Mm-hmm. So one of the big things about racism is that not everything is openly, immediately recognizable as racist. So like, mm-hmm. people like to say, oh, racism doesn't exist because we're not, you know, things are different to how they were in the past, let's just say.
Yeah, we're not being eating in fields were not being made, you know, that's kind of like that thing where it's like, oh, well, exactly, it's been a lot worse, like, oh, but yeah. It still exists, people still try and touch my hair and stroke me like I'm a monkey, like I'm in a zoo or something like that, you know, there are still things that are happening that shouldn't be happening, and that is everyday racism. Like, if your first thing is like, wow, your hair, oh my god, like, can I touch it? I don't go around stroking people's heads, I'm not a dog. It's like, why would she even try and touch my hair? When people do that to me, I go and touch their hair and say, what are you doing? I said, what are you doing? Why are you trying to touch my hair?
Well, I found it a really interesting subject as a white passing person. Like, I feel kind of, I don't feel bad talking about racism and stuff, but I do kind of, there's a little bit of a tiny bit of a stigma in my brain about it, because I am coming from a place of privilege, but I'm also not, because I'm like half Indian.
Yeah, things.
Yeah, I feel quite conflicted about casual racism because I've never experienced it, and I'd like, it's just a bit weird being an ethnic minority but also not feeling like one. But I still learn a whole lot about casual racism from my family. So I was talking to my mum about it and stuff, and she was like, absolutely. She, like, casual racism is so prevalent to her, because down to things where people in her workplace complain, oh, you can't walk down Gravesend Town Centre and hear English anymore, and, oh, immigrants are at fault for doing this, and... even down to things where if you're a white middle class child and you can speak French and you can speak Spanish and stuff as well as English, but then
child's so clever, wow,
yeah,
and that's then, so but, cool, but yeah. Then immigrant children have been doing it for how long?
For however long. Like, that, there was this news article a couple of years ago, and it was like, oh, Princess Charlotte, at the age of 2, can already speak 2 languages. And it's like, yeah, but you complain when immigrants speak their own home language. Like, why are we trying to deny other people's cultures and other people's, like, the inclusion of just different people? It's not a bad thing. It's not attacking the English language. It's not attacking the whole British identity.
That's not reducing our culture, you know. Yeah, it's definitely, and like on a personal level, for me, like, I experience it because I'm quite fair, so I share a lot of the experiences that a lot of other people who have dark complexion do experience. But with me, it's just like my hair, and then like feeling embarrassed about like saying my name and people like mispronouncing my name. If you could say Mozart and Beethoven and things like that, like these ridiculously long stupid names,
yeah,
and you can't say Olushola, or you can't pronounce names, or, you know, it's embarrassing for me to say certain things, like it's almost shameful. That isn't okay, and that is what I can see as everyday racism, or the assumption that as a black person I'm going to be loud and ignorant and rude, or I'm going to be, oh, this is a brilliant one. I am seen as an aggressive black woman when I express my views, but when a white person does it, they are passionate about a topic.
Oh my
if
God.
I sit on here, yeah. So for example, this conversation, I spoke passionately about some things. People could say that I am an angry black woman who's upset because my great-great-grandparents was in a field picking cotton, whatever type of nonsense. They could say that I am upset because of that, and I am being angry, and I'm just shouting. But I'm not. I'm speaking passionately about something. But then if a white person got up and started speaking about something, they could be seen as passionate and, like, not as aggressive as me. And it's just kind of like that, you know, just the difference in seeing people. It's not fair, and it really, like, it can, like, lower people's self-esteem, you know, it can make people not want to say certain things, like,
yeah,
I've been in positions where I don't want to be seen as an angry black person, or when people are talking about, like, race in class, I'm usually the first one to open my mouth, but I understand how people want to be quiet because they don't want to draw attention to the issue or that, because they don't think it's okay to say half-caste, or they don't think it's okay to say this, that, and the next. So it's just little things, and these little things make a big impact on people. Yeah.
Like, my mum has been really, even my dad, they've both been really impacted by stigma around ethnic minorities and immigrants and stuff. Like, they've both, like, it's very difficult to live in a country where people are trying to deny your experiences as an Indian woman, as an Irish person, coming from different countries and different backgrounds and stuff. It's just really sad that people are still adamant that they don't want to acknowledge things that go on. And I think one of the ways that we can really try and combat this, obviously not saying that we can solve racism, but people speaking up about their experiences and having and these numbing. Conversations. Yeah. And educating people. Like,
because then someone would learn.
Yeah. Like, going through the education system, we learn about civil rights, what, like, in year 8 in RE, and we learned about slavery in history before GCSE. And we've done the progression of civil rights in our A-level course, but not everyone does that. And we really need to learn more about Britain's history and the history of racism and how it can still affect people today. And it still does.
Definitely. But that's just one of the many things that should be taught in classrooms. That's not, you know, from blooming banking skills and things like that. Like, there are a long list of things that need be improved in the education system, because it all starts at education, because every child is going to go through the gates of a primary school, walk into secondary school and leave. That is good. That is guaranteed. Every child is going to experience some type of education in their life. So why don't we chuck in things we should know about our social background, about how to behave in a social environment, about what's okay and what's not okay?
Yeah.
So it's just one of the many things that I think education can solve.
And even just even just having these conversations, like, my mum said that she finds it quite difficult to speak to her white friends about race because, oh, they don't want to have that conversation. Oh, let's not talk about that. Oh, it's not an issue. Well, it's not an issue to you because you haven't experienced that, have you? And how can you expect people to progress? And how can you expect racism to fade out if we're not even going to acknowledge the things that Britain has done to other countries and other cultures and other people? And if we don't
put us here in the first place,
and if we don't accept the responsibility, maybe not as individuals but as a society built on the oppression and the benefit of that oppression.
So thank you guys so much for listening to our conversation about everyday racism and how we bring it back to the fact that the sun hasn't really set on the British Empire. So I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Thank you very much once again for listening. I'm Afra Gluck.
I'm Jeevan. Thank you so much and see you on the next one. Bye.
Thank you very much.